you know, it's one of these things that happens when it's like, screw it, Clarissa, I'm not training, I'm not doing anything, races are canceled. It's Six Underground, baby.
We're going to drink and we're going to watch action movies.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hello, Willits. It's episode 118, and we have one trailer tonight. I want to talk about why only one, and I know Audrey thinks Pete Davidson's hot or something, so she's here.
No, I just think he's, like, really funny, you know?
No, but you said he's hot in a...
He's hot in a one cigarette away from dying kind of way, you know? He's, like, very on edge.
First, let's get to our beer, and then you can tell us about how if he wasn't a comedian actor guy, this would be his life otherwise.
All right, cool. So you want to go with your beer first?
Yeah, you know, you've been teasing your reveal all week. So I'll let you go like a few more minutes of anticipation and I'll get mine out of the way.
Awesome.
And this is Society Brewing Company, the Harlot Blonde Ale. I'm not exactly sure what it is. It's not very big though. It's only 5.7. So I figured we only had one trailer tonight. And because of one trailer, I didn't need to nurse like some 14%er over like an hour and a half. We're going to be out of here in 45 minutes. So I figure 5.7 is good.
Right.
The Harlot is a crisp and easy drinking pilsner base.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it's like on a Belgian yeast or something. So I don't even know what I'm getting myself into.
Awesome.
Okay. So, smells floral. I love it. Smells like one of those like florally Belgian-y yummies. And then the way I got this was I went to Valley Brewers.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm maximizing my car trips. So I needed to pick up Frank's wine shipment at Calyra. And I thought, I can't just go to Calyra and back, pick up his wine, and I get nothing. So I stopped at Valley Brewers, and they're all like COVID-19 lockdown.
Right.
You know, they're all like social, well, physical distancing, drive up, call in, hand over your credit card, we'll let you get on your way kind of a thing.
Open the trunk, we'll throw it in.
For sure, yeah. So I thought, okay, I'm doing a Pliny the Elder clone tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
And I got another, what did I get? A Pliny? Oh, and I got a Scotch Ale, the one that you enjoyed so much. I thought now is the time to brew that again because you enjoyed it so much. I figured you were talking about last week how you got smashed off of it. So I thought, you know what? I'm brewing this one for Ted. And I got a number of one-off beers. Yeah, they're really proud of their beers. They're super expensive, way more than I care to spend. But you know what? I can't find these things anywhere else. And my beer is an amazing, really light-bodied, light flavored Belgian blonde ale. So there you go.
Awesome.
What do you got? Let me hear about your racist beer.
All right. So this week we went to Handy Market. I made my way finally down to Handy Market and I was like, oh my God, I haven't been to Handy Market for over a month.
You went foraging.
I used to go every week, you know, to get a beer and now I don't.
They're like, Ted, where you been?
And we are like they did the line outside and it's a tiny little grocery store. So they let like three people in at a time. So three people are shopping at a time and you line up outside. So we were outside, we were doing other stuff in Burbank. So once again, like you said, pooling our trips. And I said, well, I got to get some beers and I got to stock them up for the week for the, you know, the next month or so, you know,
always got to stock up beer.
So I got six beers, all singles.
Okay.
And then this one, I don't know if you remember a few months ago, we had the cease and desist.
Wait, did you wrap that or no?
No, this is their wrapping. They wrapped it like this with the little
eye
holes and everything. But this is the whole story, right?
Okay. So that is so racist.
So I pick up this bottle that, and we'll
definitely. Are you burning crosses in like the front yard or something?
Stop. So we'll definitely put this in the show notes because it's such a visual thing. But I pick up this bottle because I see cease and desist. And I was very fond of that beer. It was the can and it was called Rasputin. And then they had that long diatribe on the side of the can.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
They were
one.
Like,
I remember
the old
that
Rasputin
one.
Company decided that we couldn't be called Rasputin. So they sent us a cease and desist.
It was like from the Netherlands or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this beer, it looks like a Klansman hood with little eye holes in a white paper sack.
Horrible.
And it's got Yellow Belly on it. And I was like, all right, I would just ignore this if it didn't have cease and desist final batch. I was like, cease and desist? That was that Rasputin, which was like an imperial stout.
What style is that?
Well, I don't know. It's called Yellow Belly. I have no idea. So it says on the bag. So the bag is, like you said, like just a sack. And it looks like it's homemade wrapped, right?
Can I ask you how much?
It was like $13. Don't tell Anne.
Okay, I won't tell her.
Bryce is here. He's 10. He said, what's the percentage? What's the percentage? And I was like, oh, man.
That's all he cares about.
I guess I taught him right.
Training him well.
Or wrong. All right, so Yellow Belly, because they always have great stories on here. Yellow Belly. Audrey, why don't you read it with your cool voice?
A person who is without courage, fortitude, or nerve. A coward. To us, one of the most cowardly deeds is to act anonymously, hiding behind a group, a signifying trait of institutionalized racism.
And institutionalized, they spell with S-E-D, so this is like European or something, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
This beer is brewed to celebrate all things new, open-minded, and progressive. A peanut butter biscuit stout with no biscuits.
Oh, it's a stout.
Butter or nuts. Taste, enjoy, and don't be prejudiced.
Don't be prejudiced. So this thing that looks like a Klansman.
But it looks like a Klansman hood.
Says don't taste, enjoy, and don't be prejudiced. So I was like, what is under the hood? Like, is this going to be like the reveal in, there's a movie where there is a black guy. Well, not black Klansman, but yeah, something like, you know.
Oh,
like,
where he was pretending to.
I don't know. There's a bunch of movies.
You're talking about the black white supremacist?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. What was that? Dave Chappelle, right?
Dave Chappelle, yes.
All right, cool. So I said, I should peek. I wanted to peek while I was in the store. I was like, no. I will take a picture and I will send it to Jimmy. And Jimmy and I will just wonder what's under the hood.
Oh, so, the hood. So. It's not even like, it's like a car hood, but this is like a hood.
Let's see. Maybe they put Rasputin back on it.
Minimalist.
It's very minimalist.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
And it's 11% ABV. It's product of the United Kingdom. It's Bruxton. All right, let's crack this. All right, I'm going to have to...
Oh my God, it's like tar.
And I have to do that heavy pour.
It looks
pour.
Like coffee.
So I guess the Brits are just having a good time with the the horrible blight on
making fun
on
of Americans from 100 years ago or like the South last year.
Oh. I will say it is definitely chocolatey. It has some peanut butter notes to it, but the peanut butter is very light. And the biscuit, I don't know what they get biscuits from, but whatever. It's delicious.
Well, good. I'm glad you like it. It's like one of those things where you never know what you get into because sometimes I've purchased beers based on the label or based on the description, the descriptor, and you get it and you're just like, well, this is horrible. Well, maybe not horrible, but
it's not worth it. Right. Yeah.
Drinkable at best. Yeah. And there's been other beers where I've purchased that were recommended and they look good. And then you're just like, what on earth? Like, this thing is amazing. Amazing, and it's so underplayed. So, but I'm glad yours is working out for you. So let's get into the trailer. So that's why we have Audrey with us.
Yes. She's the Tommy Davidson expert.
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. I'm
Pete
sorry.
Pete Davidson.
Oh, my God. You never know anyone's names.
No, I was making a joke because Tommy Davidson's from In Living Color.
So let's just say that the king of Staten Island, I mean, if Pete Davidson, you know, for some reason, I have the feeling if he wasn't a comedian or something, this probably would have been his life otherwise. What do you say, Audrey?
I say, yeah. Yeah, so my friends and I, we all love him because he's super funny. We know him from like SNL and stuff. And just, was it yesterday, the three of us were watching like interviews and whatever.
The three of us?
Me and my two best friends, Natalia
I
and
won't
Bridget.
Put, okay, I wasn't going to put you on the spot by asking you to name them because, you know, sometimes it's difficult for me.
You don't need a name.
Sometimes it's difficult for me to come up with my friends' names, so.
But we are watching, they do these like lie detector tests. And it was Pete Davidson and Machine Gun Kelly. because they're also best friends. And then Pete Davidson is also best friends with John Mulaney, and we also love him. So I made us matching bracelets that say Pete. I don't have them on right now, but they say Pete, John, and Machine. And you can put a picture in the show notes. But yeah, so I first heard about this movie in this talk show called Hot Ones, where you eat like really spicy wings while the interviewer like asks you questions.
Oh, is that like a metaphor for the people in the movie though? Hot Ones?
Yeah, so, and then I saw the trailer a while ago and I was like, oh, this looks really cool. Because he's done like a couple like festival films along with Timothy Chalamet's sister.
They're called indies.
Okay, those two. but yeah, so I was really excited for this because this is like loosely based on his life. Like what you said, if he didn't get into comedy, you know, because like now, even like today, he's like living in his mom's basement, but they bought the house together and that's his whole joke. It's like,
yeah, I find it. It's like a failure to launch movie.
Yeah, if he had failed to launch.
Do you know what I mean by that, Audrey?
Yeah. Well, if he hadn't gotten his big break, this is what he'd be doing. Yeah, I get
that. Yeah, failure to launch. Like he never.
He still failed to launch because he's living in his mom's basement.
Yeah, he never left the basement.
Okay, so I was watching one of his stand-up shows with Bridget, and he said him and his mom bought the house together, and he decided he wanted to be in the basement. And in like above on the door, it says Pete's, and he said it's sick, and he's got a bunch of TVs and bean bags.
So he's just
and
living.
And he smokes.
Is that
a
cool?
A lot of, I mean, for him, I guess.
He smokes weed or cigarettes?
Well, he's his mom's pet.
I don't know.
So is it me, or does Pete Davidson oddly look like Steve Buscemi?
He does, yes.
Weirdly looks like him.
And it's very funny because Audrey was saying something. Audrey was saying like, oh, that's his dad's best friend or something, real life. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, I know one of the characters in his movie is his dad's best friend.
Don't tell mom.
Well, yeah, I was getting a serious Rescue Me vibe from this whole thing. What do you think?
Well, I thought Bill Burr was like just off a 70s porno shoot. I mean, I was like, what on earth is this guy doing with the mustache?
Mustache, shaved head, yeah.
Well, the shaved head is Bill Burr, but the stash, man. So, Audrey, do you dig dudes that are all tatted up like that?
Not usually, but okay, see, my thing is, like, if it's a really funny guy, it doesn't matter what he looks like. He's just so fun. Like,
so why Chalamet? Come on.
What's Chalamet?
Timothy Chalamet. He is Timothy so... Chalamet? I stopped breathing.
Call me by your name.
I stopped breathing. I don't know. He's a phenomenal actor. And like curly hair, lanky boys, like the favorite.
I have to look up this Machine Gun Kelly because
oh,
he is
so attractive too. Oh my God.
No, he's not.
Yes, not there, but right now he has like right now he has like bleached blonde hair and like
not in his Wikipedia picture.
I will find you a good picture of him. But he is 10 out of 10. Like they're all so funny too. So
do you think Timothy Chalamet is funny?
He's charming.
Okay, he's not funny.
He is funny when he like raps or when he like pretends to rap. Funny story: Pete Davidson, Timothy Chalamet, Kanye West, and Kim Kardashian—they all had dinner together one night randomly, and they were just kind of vibing
during coronavirus.
No, this is a long time ago.
They can't be breaking quarantine.
So one thing I could say is that over the past week or so, I think I've watched all the Bill Burr stand-ups on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
I think there's like five of them or something on Netflix. So I watched pretty much all of them. And like, he's so crass and horrible,
uh-huh,
but in a funny kind of a way. And I think Bill Burr might be the only reason I would even consider watching this.
It's gonna be funny. I think it's Judd Apatow, right? Judd Apatow directed this?
I believe so.
So it's written loosely on Pete's life, I guess, Audrey was saying.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
And then in real life, his dad died in 9/11.
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
This actor.
Yeah.
This actor's dad died in 9/11.
Was his dad really a fireman?
Yeah, his dad was really a fireman. And I first heard about it in like one of his stand-up shows. I think it was Live in New York. I think that was his first Netflix show, he said.
Okay.
And then he's like, I'm going to make a really weird joke, guys. It's okay. You can laugh. And then he like joked about his dad being dead and it being 9/11. And then since then, I realized he talks about it a lot more because like in his Hot Ones interview, he talked about it. And then a while back, he was doing this thing on SNL when he was like roasting politicians. And then some people got upset by it. So he invited the politician on that he roasted. And then the politician, Pete didn't know this, but the politician like said, I want to thank you for your father's service. And he was so like taken aback by it. Like he didn't even know the guy knew. And he got like all teary and it was really sweet.
So Which politician was that?
I don't know. He has an eye patch. I don't remember. I'll send you a link.
An eye patch? What, he's like a pirate?
No, it's that. It's the Republican with the eye patch.
And then he said, just like how you said, right off of the 70s show, I'm not going to say what type of show, but... And then
a porno movie.
And then, yeah, that. And then Pete said that about that politician. And then people got mad. And so he's like, oh, I'll invite you on and we can talk about it. And then the politician proceeded to roast Pete. And it was really funny.
So, Audrey, I could take a guess that because you chose the trailer and you think he's like so cute, that you're totally going to watch this one, aren't you?
Yes. I think Bridget and I are going to watch it when it comes out on streaming because it's supposed to be out on streaming, I think. Shoot, I forgot. I think the 12th.
Yeah. Oh, next month?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. It's going straight to streaming, but what platform do we know?
It's going to be one of those expensive ones, I think. I think this is in that universe. I think
okay.
Universal is going all out. I almost rented Scoob this evening. I still might rent Scoob in this upcoming week if I can muster it. But it's one of those $20 rentals, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
What do you think?
I would watch it. I don't think I would spend $20 on it, though. I mean...
It's kind of like, would you go to the movies for it or not? Would you wait for it to come out on streaming? Whereas, like, now you got it, like, everything's on streaming. So it's your choice.
I mean, the main thing what I would say is I wouldn't go to the theater for this and I wouldn't rent it at home. If it was a free watch that just so happened to cross my path, I might watch it. But that would even be a stretch because I'd look at it and be like, there's got to be something else.
Something else that I've already plunked my $15 for the month.
Yeah, I think it's like an acquired taste movie.
Yeah, even if it was paid for, my time, I think, is more valuable than what this movie presents to me. That's the way I feel about
it. Cool.
I think it'll be really funny. And
well, I mean, knowing that his dad really died at 9/11.
Yeah, that's intense, man.
That's, and every other movie about 9/11 and the people dying around 9/11, like there's a lot of, you know, collateral damage movies around 9/11, but I don't think there's ever been a comedy based on it. And I definitely want to see his stand-up. You know,
so good.
What about a stand-up? Would you watch a stand-up, Jimmy?
Oh, I would watch a stand-up. I mean, let's say stand-up's an hour.
Yeah. And it's on Netflix.
And it's on Netflix.
Okay, I would check it out. I mean, if I'm in 30 minutes and I don't like it, I can always turn it off.
Exactly.
But like, I don't know. I think stand-up and a movie are different things.
I think I watched it the first week of quarantine.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. First or second week of quarantine.
So we covered Scoob in what, episode 109, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so go back and listen to episode 109 on Scoob, and then they'll give your lowdown and let us know if you want to watch Scoob, because there you go, trailerjunkiespodcast.com.
So anything else to add on this trailer? She watched a ton of videos about Pete, you know, around the trailer.
So can I ask, okay, so we have the king of Staten Island with Pete Davidson, Steve Buscemi, Bill Burr, Marissa Tomei, a lot of actresses, actors, and so on. We have one trailer this week. And the first thought I had when you told me we had one trailer, the first thought I had was, are the studios slowing down on content releases? Is that why we have one? Or what was the reason to choose one for tonight?
I think they are. I don't know specifics on how it works. I mean, there were a few trailers to look at. There's a couple other ones that were kind of interesting to me, but it was just like, I didn't want to reach. I didn't want to have like, you know, a B or C level movie or something, or TV show or something, you know? So I just picked this one. It's the most mainstream. It's interesting, like with Trolls and now Scoob and now this movie. Universal's really gunning for the whole theatrical space, you know? It's kind of a scary time to be in the theatrical movie business, you know?
Well, it's forever changing because, like, who knows if people are even going to want to go back to the movie theater after this, after having it so accessible to their home. At least just people with, like, younger kids, because it's easier to just to, like, buy it for the day. Like, if you want to buy Trolls for your, like, little kids, and then they can just run around and scream and you don't have to worry about being in a theater and, like, disrupting other people, you know, and you can pause and stuff like that.
It's like Mommy Movie Monday every day.
Yeah.
Jimmy, did you ever go to Mommy Movie Monday?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, so it's at the Grove, where it's like...
It's not only at the Grove, but yeah, we went to the Grove when you were like many years ago.
And they like show movies, but it's like just like parents and their kids.
So they show movies and they usually put Mommy Movie Monday. So on Monday, they designate one theater and a couple of screenings in the middle of the day.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah.
And they don't keep the lights on.
They don't turn the lights all the way down. They put a couple folding tables up to change your baby in case you need to change your baby. If the babies are crying, it doesn't matter because everybody's got a baby there, so it doesn't really matter. They aren't bothering anyone because everybody's there. And I remember going one time, I think we went to see Miami Vice, you know, they'd rebooted Miami Vice. We went in to see that movie, and there was a couple of guys that were like skipping out on work in the middle of the day, and they were giving everybody the dirty eye because all these babies are in there crying and stuff. And I was like, guys, you're in the wrong theater. You know what I mean? This is obviously, it's not the mothers and the babies and the parents' fault. It's your fault. You're in the wrong place because this is made for the rest of us parents, us new parents, you know?
That's right. So Ted, I can't say though, I mean, we only have the one trailer, but I'm just happy you saved me from like the modern version of like Shannon Tweed movies or something.
We'll do a review of Two Moon Junction 12.
Two Moon Junction 12. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I get it. You know, like you're saying, how far do you stretch into the BC range when nobody's putting anything out? So you know what? Hey, we cover one movie, then we get into what else is going on.
Exactly.
That's it.
Anything to add, Audrey? You good?
I think you got... Okay, wait. I think I asked the question, but I did ask the question. So you find I'll tat it up, dude, sexy or no?
No, I think, like I said, he's very funny and he's got a good personality and like him.
Okay.
And Machine Gun Kelly.
And he's a mama's boy.
And he babysits.
That's right.
Machine Gun Kelly's daughter sometimes, and they go on road trips and they make blueberry pancakes. So,
oh, nice. I'm coming for breakfast.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Why do you know so much about this dude?
I told you we watched. So I think it's Vanity Fair. They have this thing where they like hook up you and your best friend to a lie detector test. And Yesterday, my friends and I just watched a bunch of them.
So you're watching these virtually?
Yeah.
Or how are you guys connecting then? So
we're all on Zoom, and then I'll usually screen share and I'll put it up on YouTube, and then we can all see each other, and then we'll also see my screen, but it'll be big. And that's also how we watch TV shows and stuff together.
And you're just on a laptop or something?
Yeah.
And you're also in the middle of watching Little Women.
I am, with one of my other friends.
Oh, Audrey, you would be happy to know, which I think you've read this too, and me and Clarissa visited the house.
Oh, yes.
I'm reading Anne Frank. Well, both Clarissa and I were kind of switching off, but we're reading Anne Frank's diary.
Oh.
To the boys each night.
Oh, that's good. I think I read that in third or fourth grade, I want to say.
I never did, but Clarissa and I visited her house in Amsterdam.
Oh, wow. We were supposed to go to the Museum of Tolerance for our eighth grade field trip.
Oh, in Washington, D.C.?
No, there's one.
Or here in L.A.?
There's one here in L.A., and we were supposed to go to that
one. Oh, in L.A., okay.
We're supposed to go to that one for our eighth grade field trip.
But coronavirus. Thanks, coronavirus.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, we visited in Amsterdam her house. And I mean, very somber.
Yeah.
And then somehow we were talking about, the boys were talking about being cooped up and everything. And we got to talking about Anne Frank, and one thing leads to another. And I'm like, you know what? We have that book, so let's read it, you know? So now we're reading it. You know, the boys so far like it. They want to get to the nitty gritty Nazi stuff, but we're still in the beginning stages of when she's still going to school.
Get to the action. Get to.
They're just like, when did everybody start shooting everybody?
Oh,
you know,
man.
It's like they watch too much Lego Ninjago or something. I don't know.
When do the dragons come out?
Boys. All right, Audrey, hey, we're glad that you came to join us for a little review of The King of Staten Island.
Thank you for having me.
And maybe when they make a movie about the Queen of Reseda.
Oh my God, me, they better. Okay, funny story. One of the Netflix shows that I just watched with Bridget, literally, she's from San Fernando Valley.
What's it called?
Never Have Ever.
Never Have Ever.
She's from San Fernando Valley. She's Indian, and she's like, and I was like, they really said copy-paste of me.
Except she's 100% Indian.
Okay. Okay, yeah. But that is also a really good movie. That really gets you.
TV show.
She's not a half-breed.
Half-blood, you know? Oh, a little precursor. Disney Plus says they're coming out with a Percy Jackson series, and I could not be more thrilled.
Really?
Yes.
I'm
a big Percy Jackson and Jason fan.
Nice.
Very excited.
And also, Disney Plus is also coming, since we're talking about dropping Disney Plus news.
Hamilton.
Disney Plus is doing Hamilton. They're doing the staged production of Hamilton. They're doing it, what, 2 years early or something like
that? Yeah.
But in musical form, right? Is that what you mean, or...?
They recorded it off Broadway. They recorded it on Broadway.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were going to release it 2024, 2022. And they said, all right, well, coronavirus is here, so we're going to release it on July 3rd or July 4th or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. I can't wait. I want to watch it.
Bridget and I were talking about it because she was supposed to go see it this year.
And we were too.
Wow.
I'm just telling the family everything that we were going to do because of it. Now it's not happening because of coronavirus.
That is the best way to get out of it all. See, I'm still a cool dad. I was going to take you.
We were going to go to the moon, but coronavirus.
Oh my God, how could you? I believe there's no corona on the moon. Let's just go there.
But there is in the spaceship.
Oh, shoot. I mean, if we all quarantine for 2 weeks in the spaceship, then.
Yeah.
Is that all you need?
I don't know. I think.
Yeah, if you're 2 weeks, you know, without you know, coming in contact with anybody's spittle. You're good.
Okay, well, hey, let's go, man. But let me say, though, I mean, getting into a little bit of that, too. So Wednesday morning, we get our stimulus check put in our bank account.
Uh-huh.
So that's like, yes, that's like a high, right?
Yeah,
you get
of
a couple
of
about $3,000 or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like an hour later, I get an email to a kick in the nuts, which was... The Leadville, as I'm wearing the shirt tonight, race got canceled.
Ugh.
You know, I mean, all the training and everything and up to this point and getting fit and, you know, it's like, okay, well, let's recalibrate and readjust and we'll figure out where we are. And, you know what it is? It's like death, right? You see it coming. You know it's there.
Oh my God.
It's going to happen. But when it does, you're just kind of surprised.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, I didn't think it was going to happen now. Yeah, I mean, like, I knew they were going to cancel it. There was no way they weren't going to cancel it.
Right.
I mean, you had, what they said was you had about 8,000 people coming from 50 states and 40 countries.
Ugh.
There's no way you're going to have people from all around the world descend on a town that has 8 beds in their hospital and 1 bed in their emergency room.
For an event where people are going to be bicycling, and I will say every morning Audrey and I go running, and I'm just now getting used to running with a mask.
It's
but I feel like I'm high altitude training.
But why do you run with a mask?
Because we have to. LA
yeah.
County is
they
has
sent
to
out
a
thing. The minute you go outside of your property line, you gotta be wearing a mask.
Yeah, but what if you're like hundreds of feet from people?
Doesn't matter.
Ah, come on, what are they gonna do?
They're going to start.
No, I'm serious. Like, you're not going to get sick.
No, but that.
If there's nobody around, you're not going to get sick.
I know, but I think they just don't. They just want everybody to contain their spittle.
I mean, we'll get so good at running, you know? So when this is over and we don't have to wear masks, we won't get winded at all.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I was keeping up with you this morning.
I know. I was like, dang.
I went yesterday to the auto store because I needed a new car battery, right?
Because you never run your car.
No, I mean, the thing's like 8 years old, and we never replaced a battery. We got an old battery. Anyway, so I dropped the battery, boom, on the desk, because the thing weighs like 100 pounds. And I said, hey, I need a new battery and stuff, and everybody's in there, like, behind the counter, outside, you know, whatever. Everybody's got a mask on. There's always the one, right, that walks in
like
with no mask.
Like your dentist.
You're just like, really, dude? My dentist, yeah. He was another one. No, you know, people have a mask. It's unbelievable. But anyway, yeah, so we're no bike racing, no nothing going on. Everybody's I don't know. I got to come up with my own event, my own personal event.
Your 100-miler.
I don't know what it'll be. I'll do something.
How many miles is it from your place to our place? It's 160 miles or something, right?
Oh, God.
It's something like that. You know, maybe I should do that.
Oh, my
you
gosh.
Know, I'll just hammer there one day.
What's that mean? Just like...
No, hammer means like ride hard.
Okay, ride hard. Okay, cool.
But then you gotta ride back.
No, you know what? I'll leave it like 5 a.m.
It's so hot.
And then just put the pedal to the metal.
How long would that take you?
Well, Leadville's like around 9 hours.
Oh my God.
Bruh, so, I don't know. That's kind of a lot and it's starting to get hot.
I could do it.
I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying it's hot and that's a long...
You rode across the country, right?
Oh, well, that was 98. That was 22 years ago.
How many miles did you put in a day?
On average, about 100 a day.
Oh, okay.
The most I did was 170. The least was probably around 80.
So that's what I was going for. 170 is your year high. So you could do it.
No, I could totally do it.
I think it's all downhill from there to here.
How's he going
to
get back? Yeah, okay, downhill getting here, but what about getting back?
No, Clarissa, how do I get back? Clarissa, the boys drive there, then we drive home.
Sweaty and...
They'll drive. Remember, he came to Mother's Day. He rode his bike to Mother's Day once.
I remember.
Yeah, but it's like, I could get to Santa Barbara from here to Santa Barbara in like, that's what, 60 miles? I could get there in about a little over two hours.
Oh, see? Look at that. You're halfway there. Halfway to LA.
Easy. Dude, I'm there in less than 6.
All right, cool. Leadville weekend. You come, you bike down to LA.
That's a lot.
Maybe I do. Okay, Ted. You know what, man? Okay.
Oh my God.
I've been biking every day too. I do my 3 miles every morning. I'm ready.
I'll call your bluff. I'm gonna do it.
Oh my God.
From Lompoc to Enfield Avenue.
Are you gonna wear a mask while you're biking?
Oh no, I won't wear a mask. What else? No one else is gonna be around. I'll be all right.
But he'll have a mask on him, so when he gets off the bike.
That's right. And then I'll hold up the joint.
Cool.
How are you going to social distance shower? Are we going to hose you off?
No, just go over to Frank and Barbara's and he'll, you know.
That's right.
It's easy once he gets here. All right, we do about what we're watching, we're going to say goodbye to Audrey.
All right, Audrey.
She's waving and blowing kisses.
Right, that's right. It's audio. We do love podcasts.
All right, good night, Audrey. Good night. It was always fun talking. Okay, so my week was, like I said, a kick in the nuts. You know, it was so the highs and lows of the week. So we got that. The Leadville race is canceled. I don't know what's going on with the July one. I haven't heard. I emailed them. Who the hell knows what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So I made some adjustments to the training plan and all that stuff to see what we're doing. I don't know, man. We'll see. But other than that, it's been a roller coaster of a week. And I, you know, just with work and with bike advocacy and, you know, the Lompoc bike master plan is out and I wrote a letter to that thing making my recommendations and adjustments. And I don't know, there's just a lot of stuff that's been going on this week. It's been highs and lows and everywhere in between. And Wednesday night, I got pretty smashed. And Clarissa is like, so we're working out Thursday. I'm like, I just learned the race got canceled and I'm not doing shit tomorrow. So I just kept opening beers and I was just like YouTubing. I don't know, but... How about you? What's your week been up to?
So I've been very productive on the home selling front. You know, like I was putting stuff.
Is it still going on?
So it's the never ending garage sale. You know, like I said, I filled the shelves full of stuff. And every now and then people say like, oh, I'm going to come by, you know, and they text me, you know, they look for the thing and they say, is this still available? Is this baby toy still available? And it's 11 o'clock at night. And somebody's like, is this still available? And I'm just like, yeah, it's still available. What's up?
My kid needs to play now. I can't sleep.
He's like, I'll come to get it right now. I was like, no, you won't. If you could come tomorrow.
11 at night?
Yeah, 11 at night. People want to come and get baby toys and stuff. And this is why, like, I always ask them when they're going to come.
That's so weird.
And then I don't give them the address until a few hours before they say they're going
to
come.
Wait, they come to your house?
Yeah. Yeah.
At least meet them on the corner of Satakoy or... Be like, I'll meet you on the corner.
Then it's really like a drug deal. Come on. This is like... Somebody came from, so last night the guy wanted to pick up something. He was in Orange County. He called me he texted me at 10 o'clock. He goes, I'll be there at 11:30. I was like, it's a baby walker. Your baby's going to be asleep by, you know, like Orange County. Don't come up from
Orange County. Wait a minute. Orange County for a baby walker?
A little IKEA baby walker.
Yeah, what saving are you getting?
I'm saving the fact that I'm not going to have movers move that little toy.
No. What I'm saying is, with this, like,
hey, I'm not going into the logic of the buyer from Orange County that wants to buy this cool little walker for his baby.
Like, buy it off Amazon. Orange County probably gets you next day shipping. Yes. Even if it's double, what is your time worth?
Well, he saw a deal. He took it. Right? Yes, I know.
Wow, that is shocking. And it's shocking that, like, you put it on, like, Reseda Marketplace, yes, exactly, or whatever, and some dude in,
Orange,
like,
County.
Anaheim or whatever is like, oh my God, Reseda, that's like right down the street. I'll be there in an hour and a half. Wow, I'm shocked at that.
But hey, I don't look gift horse in the mouth. You know what I mean? It's like we're getting rid of stuff. We're clearing it out. It is actually working. You know, I'm basically giving some of this stuff away, but that's okay too. You know, it's like it's out of our lives. It'll never be.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Know, we'll never need that baby tub again. You know what I mean? Like the baby tub that's just taking up space and is so awkward that you couldn't even put it anywhere. You know.
What are you talking about? You can use it for, like, you know, you put a little hole in the bottom to drain.
It has a drain out. It has a little drain plug on it.
Oh my God, like you could put tomato plants in that thing. You know, like, I'm serious. You can put that in the backyard. I guess you don't have a gopher problem.
Oh, yeah.
But you can put that in the backyard, dude. It's like.
You bury it in the backyard.
Don't even bury it. It's just above ground little, like, tomato plant.
Oh, that's like, ghetto. Come on.
It's like a raised bed. What? It's a raised bed, you know?
Anyway, so I've been selling like crazy on that. And yeah, so that's, I mean, it's good for this week. We actually got out to Burbank. That was nice. And then we watched a bunch of stuff. Did you watch some stuff too, I heard, so.
Okay, so let's get into Have a Good Trip.
Yes, let's. I was so vindicated. I was like, yes, this is exactly what I was talking about. I think I mentioned this all, you know, half of this stuff on the podcast last week.
So can I say though, my let me get into this first.
Please.
What was your impression before I tell you my impression? I'm just curious what you think so I don't poison the well.
Oh, okay. Ooh, okay. Yeah. So
I have a good trip we're talking
about. Have a good
about.
Trip on Netflix, the documentary about acid.
Yeah, Adventures in Psychedelics.
Adventures in Psychedelics. I thought it was a nice balanced way to discuss something that has been very taboo for a very long time. You know, and I don't know. I was happy that people were talking about it in this open way, you know, and in such a positive way. And there were definitely elements about what everyone had said. Like most of the stories that they had given had, very clear moments of recognition and reminiscing for me and my trips and figuratively. And that the one sentence where I forget who said it, but somebody says the strangest things happen to you in real life, but when you're tripping, they actually happen to you and you have to just deal with it. I don't know what it is cosmically about life, but life just throws strange things at you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And for a really long time after that, it's like, oh, my friends and I were almost hit by a car in a freak snowstorm, you know, that slammed into the snowbank that we were walking on, you know what I mean? And it was like, what were you guys doing? And we're like, well, we're tripping on acid, but that really happened to us. And we were like, yeah. So it's like the people that don't do it or aren't in that scene or that space, they just don't have a connection and they don't know that those things are actually happening. So there's all of these actual cosmic things that are happening to you in that space, but they would have never happened to you if you didn't take acid. So I don't know why that happens like that. That was one of the truest statements said during that documentary. But you didn't like it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I thought it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. I think my favorite description of good trips and bad trips was the guy who leads with his head or leads with his knees. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that in my life. But one thing I want to say, though, is, and you notice this, like, with drinking a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
People tell you, like, you know, a drinking story comes up, and it doesn't matter at what point in your life. I mean, you could have been in college, or it could have been last week. I don't know. But people have to tell you how drunk they got, how much they drank, and they kind of follow down that path of, you know, like, well, drinking stories, right?
Right.
And the best I can say is it reminded me of drinking stories of famous people, but for it was just tripping stories of famous people.
Right. And I think that was a funny thing when Carrie Fisher was saying, like, ooh, you want me to tell you something that's evocative that happened while I was, you know what I mean? Like, she was kind of making fun of the interviewer, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And was like,
But they shared it. They shared it with the audience. And I thought that was nice.
Yeah. And that's the thing I thought, though, is like, okay, it's not a drinking story, obviously, because, like, they're not drinking, but they're tripping. But it's like, oh my God, I tripped so hard, and let me tell you about my story and everything. But it's one of those things where, I don't know, I think everybody has their story. This just so happened to be an hour and a half of famous people's stories.
Right. And it's so funny, because when you have Sting talking about the grass, talking to him, and then the little cartoon says, Sting, Sting, Sting. It has to be something that helps a famous person cope with the reality of being famous. And I think that's what Carrie Fisher was talking.
Like humility in a sense, right?
Yeah, and it's like when you look at a sea of people in a stadium or an auditorium or any kind of, you know, place of congregation for a concert, that's what they are, you know what I mean? They're basically just, you know, anonymous blades of grass in a field of a stadium, you know? So I love that kind of analogy where, and it was interesting that half of it was about famous people, but then half of it, the part that I liked was like, I think it wasn't Anthony Bourdain. It was one of the other like comedian guys.
Well, Anthony Bourdain was the food dude.
Right. There was a comedian that got a case full of booze and drugs and stuff and ran, picked up a couple female hitchhikers and
you know. Oh, that one. Yeah.
and I was like, oh, you know, those are the kind of things that happened before they were famous. So there was definitely, even though they're famous or they're comedians now, some of the stories predated their fame. So that was very too.
Well, the stories did, sure. But nobody cares because they're famous now. So that's the reason people care.
Right.
Right. So in other words, what was the Puerto Rican chick?
Oh, yeah. Rosie Perez.
Rosie Perez. Like nobody, like no one cares about Rosie Perez at the time other than her boobs are out. But the fact that Rosie Perez is Rosie Perez is why people care about the story, right? If it was just some random Puerto Rican chick talking about tripping, people wouldn't even watch the show.
I think people would still watch. I think people would still get be amused by it.
But you'd have to be tripping.
But it wouldn't be as impactful. I think it definitely has more impact because it's like, you know, there's a couple of pages in Us magazine where it's like, stars, they're just like us. And it shows them like buying toothbrushes and stuff. Like, you know.
Oh, great. I love that.
And it's just weird stuff.
Okay. One thing I would say, though, and I know your answer would probably be different just because of history. But what I would say is the movie, or is it a movie?
Yes.
It's like an hour 20 minutes.
It's a documentary.
It's like a
documentary,
I guess. Sure. I would say the documentary doesn't entice me to want to go do acid.
Okay. That's good.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of whether it did for me or not.
Well, I was thinking like, and going into it, I thought, I wonder if after watching this, you know, like if I watched like a craft beer documentary, I'm going to finish it and be like, oh my God, that beer is so amazing. I can't wait to go find that beer and have some. The way they describe the hops to be so, like, you know, dank or whatever. I went into this thinking like, okay, I'm open. I mean, like, open-minded. I've done mushrooms right. and stuff. I'm not saying I never did any of that stuff. I'm just, so, and I talked to Clarissa about it, just a quick aside. I've been in the proximity of acid, offered acid, and all the things that have to do with acid. I've never done it. And it's one of those things, and I don't know why I did mushrooms. I don't know. It's like.
You thought it was natural, right? You're like, oh, it's natural.
Well, no, I think the thing is when, like, the people are like, oh, here's some acid. I'm like, either I'm gonna give you, like, I don't know at the time, who the hell remembers? I'm gonna give you $20 because you put a drop of water on a piece of paper. And then you're going to take my $20 and I'm out. Like, I don't believe you that that's what it is. And even if it is, like, where did it come? Okay, like LSD, right? Where did this come from? You know, at least I know, like, a bud of marijuana. Uh-huh. I know what it looks like. I know what it smells like. I know it came off a plant somewhere. Right. Maybe it was, like, my old man's backyard for all right, I right. know. I don't know. But, like, acid? I don't even know, like, how do I know this shit's legit?
Well, you know it's legit when you take it.
Yeah, but at that point, you got my money and you're gone.
Well, back in the day.
I think I've always been too protective of how much I'm paying for experience.
Ah, see? Okay. But that's the key. Like, you know, we talk about ABVs and we kind of joke about, like, the fact that you're getting, like, a case of beer and a 15% or beer, you know, like if you get a 22 and it's 15%, that's like a six pack or something, right? At least the four pack of.
Yeah, but there's also flavor and craft and hop and understood. there's a lot in there.
But let's say
right?
you take the illicit substance of LSD and you say, like, it's $5 for a little teeny hit, right? $5.
Sure.
And it lasts for 10 hours. That's what is that? 50 cents an hour.
No, I get it. But my point is, how do I know that what you give me, I give you the $10 and then I never see you again and you just happen to put a drop of water on it?
Oh, okay. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
I guess that's never happened to me.
And then the other side of it too, though, is like, you're telling me it's LSD. How do I know it's not, like, you know, like bleach or
yeah,
something?
Yeah. Well, you know.
You know?
And that's the thing that, like, Sarah Silverman was talking about. Like, we didn't know the guy that walked in and said, hey, take this, you know? So there.
Yeah. Here's the hit. Sure, I'll take the hit.
There's a.
Bam. They take the hit, you know?
There's this, you know, ignorance in youth. And it's like, sometimes it's great and sometimes it's extremely tragic. So, you know, the luck of the draw is right. The luck of the draw. And I was too, I also was thinking about that. And I thought that I would not do it again because I did remember that I had reached a limit and was satisfied with my level of care. You know, it was like, do you watch Big Hero 6? Have you seen Big Hero 6?
Big Hero 6. No, I have not. I've heard of it, though.
Kids would love Big Hero 6. So there's Big Hero 6, the movie, which the kids might like. It might be too intense for Timmy. But it's a great movie. It's a Disney/Marvel, but it's also like a kids movie, animated feature. But there's also a series that's on Disney Plus. So you can watch it on Disney Plus and you can check it out. The series is great. The series is a little more accessible for younger ages. So we watched a few episodes this week. And Baymax always says, are you satisfied with your care? Because he's a healthcare robot. And he says, I cannot deactivate until you say you are satisfied with your care, you know?
I love that.
So I'm sorry. I reached my limit of doing acid. So as far as my experience and what I needed to get out of it, as far as my self-care and figuring out what I needed in life, I'm at my limit. I'm not fully actualized, but I have had enough of that to take care of myself, to figure out what I want or, you know, or at least what that's done for me. So the only inkling that gave me any kind of interest in ever doing it again was if a friend of mine was terminal or if a friend of mine was depressed in a way. And then they found that guy at the end who was saying, like, we're going to now have, like, retreats, like LSD retreats, where you go away for a weekend in a controlled space. And if a friend of mine ever said that they were doing that for a weekend and they were concerned about it or had trepidation, conversation about it. Like, I've talked some people down on some trips, you know what I mean? Like, if you're in a group and you notice that somebody is like spiraling or something like that, usually you can get to them and you can figure out how to connect with them and figure out how to talk them down. And usually you're in a much more compassionate place if you're along for the ride with them. So I've done that a few times, and I thought that's the only way that I would ever do this again, is if I was doing it as like a wingman to somebody who needed it.
Well, I think that was the psychiatrist or something that was saying that acid could be used for depression and it can be used for addictions and things.
Yeah.
And in the controlled space, acid could be done in such a way that you don't have to experience the negatives, but you kind of get uplifted with the positives.
Right.
And I would agree with you. I think in a controlled setting, like, one thing about youth, and I remember even too, like, smoking pot and drinking, you know, whatever, whether it's beer or like, you know, liquor or something, mm-hmm. and mushrooms and so on. But when you're like young, you're kind of doing it where you're going to do it, right? So in other words, like, you're out in the cornfield getting high or something, at least in Illinois, that's what we would do. And, you know, and you're doing, like, you're in these like obscure places, and then you're like, oh my God, like, you know, you're sitting there like on the side of a road or something, and you're like, oh my God, I'm so high. And it's like, now I got to get home. How's that going to happen? And, you know, and I think that's what leads to like a bad trip, is that kind of stuff, because you still have this idea of logic underpinning your situation.
Right.
But if you're in a situation where you're taken care of, you know you're taken care of, no matter what happens, even if things turn a little bit sour because of, I don't know, past experience, prior knowledge, maybe history of trauma or something of that nature.
Or just your head's in a bad place. Sometimes your head's just in the wrong place.
That's exactly what I mean, yeah. So people can work with you to at least get you out of that, or at least to calm you a little bit, like you said, you know, like you're the wingman or whatever. Mm-hmm. That I could see doing, and I would probably consider that. If I'm just at home and I got a couple of tablets from, like, I don't know, some kid on the corner, how do I know what he's selling me? And that's, again, like I said, like, why I never did it in the first place is because, you know, I remember friends in high school like, oh my God, I'm tripping on acid. Well, you know, I also remember the people drinking O'Doul's acting drunk off their ass. It's like, just because you say you're tripping off of like a tablet doesn't mean you are. It just means you want me to believe that you are, you know, and maybe they were, but I don't know. I'm cynical when it comes to it.
And I never got those kids that like tripped and went to school. It's like, why would you want to go to school? Like, take a day off, like take a sick day if you're going to be trip. Go to a
apparently you don't work in a high school.
Go to a museum. Yeah, I do not work in a high school. Do kids still do this? I don't even understand.
Oh, worse than ever. Worse than ever. All right, so we also watched Extraction.
Oh, good. What do you think?
Man, how many people need to die to save one kid? Unbelievable. How many, like, I mean, hundreds of people got shot, blown up. And then I love how, like, and I don't remember the guy's names or anything. It was a week ago we watched it. But the one dude who worked for the kid's old man, you know, he was like some Indian special forces or whatever. But I love how, like, they keep getting, like, hit by cars. They're flying. Like, they get shot. Like, all this stuff. And, like, they're still in the battle.
Yeah.
You know?
No, he was in it to win it. He was in there for...
Sanji.
He was in it for his wife and his son. You know what I mean? It was like...
Right.
That's why he was there. That's what he was, you know, he wanted to save his son, basically.
Yeah, because essentially if he didn't get the job done, then his kids were gone, you know?
And then, like, it was this triple paternal story, right? There was one real boy who was in, like, terminal danger.
Well, he was the extraction kid.
And then there was one boy who was terminal, who wasn't saved. So he was, you know, he was the reason that Chris Hemsworth was in his situation, you know?
Right.
And he was kind of had his death wish. And then there was the Sanji's son, who was also in a type of terminal problem that had to do it.
Well, I think it was terminal because if the kid wasn't extracted for, I don't remember the father's name who was in prison, but if his kid wasn't extracted, Sanji's kid would have been
right.
Essentially executed. And then Hemsworth's kid died as a toddler.
Died
or
as a toddler from cancer.
Exactly.
And he took another tour of duty instead of being with his wife and his dying son. So, you know, so he had the guilt of 1,000 fathers. Could you imagine that? Like, I couldn't even fathom.
I have the guilt of 1,000 fathers when they don't eat peanut butter and jelly. It's unbelievable.
Did you like that master shot? Did you know when it was happening? Could you tell? Like,
oh, I knew right away, and I even told Clarissa. I said, "This is the master shot Ted's talking about. They're gonna do a handoff into the car." I saw the handoff take place with the camera. It was
right?
awesome.
And then all through it that apartment complex, awesome. You know, like they're turning corners,
oh.
and you know the camera's just like moving. It's just on the move, you know.
Oh, those. Cameraman, man, that was really awesome. I have to say that the way that played out, and I think if you didn't prime me for it, I would have also recognized it. But I think what made it even better was I was ready for it.
You had the anticipation of it.
Oh, I was so ready for it, and when it happened, I was like, "Here we go!" And okay, which leads me into Six Underground. So we watched Six Underground last night.
This toxic masculine
Action Jackson, right? So, I mean, talk about crazy car crashes, car chases, you know, and what is it? The
Uffizi.
Uffizi, yeah. And they're going there. I mean, like, you're talking about, like, shoot 'em up. Like, oh, so all week we've been in
adrenaline.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. You know, it's one of these things that happens when it's like, screw it, Clarissa, I'm not training. I'm not doing anything. Races are canceled. It's Six Underground, baby.
We're going to drink and we're going to watch action movies.
That's exactly what we did. We drank and we watched action
movies. So you watched them back to back. I'm kind of jealous of you. What is there a way? Because I think of them as very similar movies, and yet I think they're both valuable. But I'm trying to think if I think one is better than the other, and I don't even know if I can do that to those two movies.
Let me just say that The Six Underground, here's the thing about it, right?
It's glossier. It's a glossier action.
You're talking about the editing and the directing?
Editing, directing. It has more of like the pretty yacht and the pretty people and the you know, Michael Bay in the ladies in lingerie, you know what I mean? It has like the...
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Six Underground, you know, it's more the Jason Bourne movies.
Ah, okay.
With like the fast jump cuts, I don't know, like it's when you talk about gloss,
uh-huh.
I think the gloss in the directing and the editing are far more polished right. in Six Underground than they are in Extraction.
Yes.
However, I think Extraction was, though violent, had much less like, I don't know, like it didn't show the violence as much. It wasn't as graphic. Where like Six Underground was showing like car accidents, but like people are being cut in half and bouncing off of cars and getting run over, and it's like people on bicycles and motorcycles and people, you know, whatever, like the bus gets hit, but like it gets cut in half, and then like people just go like literally flying and smashing into buildings,
right?
And like they showed the graphics of it,
uh-huh.
where Extraction showed the graphics of the people who were directly involved in the
Act. action.
The shooting, but it wasn't like the innocent bystander.
I get, and you know, I think it all boils down to what the differences that you're talking about is when you think that Extraction was directed by a stunt coordinator supervisor, you know what I mean? Like, he's a big movie stunt coordinator, right? Versus Michael Bay, which is a big time movie director, you know, like, so Michael Bay has everything at his disposal and he's like, I'm going to use CG. I'm going to use practical stuff. I'm going to do this. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be edited in a certain way. We're going to do all that. But if you're a stunt coordinator and you're doing your, you know, first big budget movie, like, you're going to be like, oh, let's do it all practical. Let's do like real car hits and we'll rig people up on, you know, these bungee cords. So we'll like yank them away from the car as the car is going to hit them, you know what I mean? And like paint these wires out and stuff and have all these cool wire pulls and all the things that big budget movies have to a degree, but not to the level that Extraction has. So it's interesting that like there's equal amount of tools provided to these two talented directors, but they implement them in different ways because of their background.
Well, and I think the difference between the two movies is if you identify somebody as a bad guy and I don't know, a bullet, a hand grenade, a car, a helicopter, you know, or even if you go back, if you think about Indiana Jones,
yeah,
when you're thinking about Raiders of the Lost Ark and the German guy gets killed by the rotor of the airplane, you know, that scene, you know, going back to the early 80s, whatever. I think when you identify someone as a bad guy, you don't really have a response to them, right? So you're like, yeah, they were a bad guy. They deserved it.
Right.
And it's one of those things where, like, in the moment, you don't stop and think about who is this person? Why are we killing them? And so on. The movie lays it out as, like, good guy kills bad guy, and that's the end of it.
Right.
But I think in Six Underground with Michael Bay, they're flying through a plaza, and you see people, like,
flying over the cars and dying, yeah,
on a moped who just so happens to be getting, like, you know, an avocado at the market, and next thing you know, they're getting, like, crushed by a semi, you know, or like, a guy riding his bicycle through the square, and they're getting, and you have these innocent people that they showed getting, like, crushed and,
right, creamed, yeah,
bounced off of buses and stuff, you know, and I think it just set a different tone because, like, it's like good guy, bad guy, and, you know, innocent bystander, right, right, neutral person.
And it's a kind of, it's a little more not comical, but it's a little more, it's more of a caricature of the value of life. You know what I mean?
It's like, well, yeah. I mean, like, they put a flashbang in the guy's mouth and it blows his head off.
Right.
And then the guy's like, oh my God, that was only a flashbang. Well, yeah, you put it in his mouth for crying out loud. Of course, it blew off his head. And then they show it, like, the corpse fall over from, like, the neck down with no head. Just blew his head off. And, I mean, the movie was pretty gruesome in that regard. And in many ways, it continued. But I think that is the thing about the movie, that if you're not, if you're squeamish at all, watching innocent life, and that was not an innocent life scene.
Right.
So I think what you're saying is the good guy, bad guy, you know, shoot him up thing that you get in Extraction is one thing. But the innocent person in the square, that's where I think this movie fails, because only so many people can tolerate that.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the thing. It's like when you're killing people that otherwise shouldn't be killed, you know, and movies are designed around that, right?
Yeah.
Where if you have hundreds of people getting killed on a bridge in Extraction, we've already identified them as all bad guys and Chris Hemsworth is the good guy.
Right.
So when you see them get shot, you're like, yeah, get him. But when you see the poor guy in the market, like, getting a banana, like, or whatever the hell, and he gets killed, you're just like,
why?
Oh, the poor guy got killed, you know?
And it desensitizes you kind of for the whole thing. Like I remember the first couple of people in that car chase scene that you're talking about. The first couple of people that happened to, I was taken aback, but it really sets your tone for the whole movie.
But it becomes so ridiculous.
And then it's just like, then it's all bets are off. And you're just like, I'm down for whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you've lost all mooring to your moral grounds, you know?
Well, and I love how you're going through this Italian city that it has all these earth tones. And you're driving this lime green neon car. Like, of course they're going to find you. This thing's like, it stands like a sore thumb, you know? But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the movie. I'm not going to say I didn't, but it was one of those things where I wouldn't recommend it to my mom.
Did you see the aviation gin in the bar?
Aviation gin? No, I don't know. Maybe I did and I didn't notice it.
That is right. So aviation gin is Ryan Reynolds' gin company. And it was part of the deal.
Oh, okay.
With him doing the movie on Netflix, part of the package was he would get product placement for his gin.
So Six Underground, is that a straight to Netflix stream?
100% Netflix movie. Netflix paid for it. I'm just looking it up now. $150 million Netflix movie. So they did not skimp on it.
Wow.
But yeah, so part of the $150 million or part of the deal was that they would get the Ryan Reynolds would get his aviation gin featured in it. And then the car company, I forget what color, what kind of car that is. I think it's like
Alfa Romeo.
Yeah. So it's an Alfa Romeo, that lime green Alfa Romeo, they also paid a top dollar to get their car in there as well. So those are the two big product placement pieces for it. And it's well worth it, I think. It was an amazing actioner.
Me and Clarissa were thinking about Netflix and what they spend on movies. And it's like, man, they got to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, on all this stuff they produce.
Yeah.
And then we're thinking about like, well, how many subscriptions do they have? And we're thinking they got to have like 50 million households minimum.
Yeah.
Maybe 100 million or something, you know, worldwide or something.
I believe they're at 85 million.
85 million?
I think I was
at reading. $13. So 85 million times 13. And I mean that whatever billion that creates, you know, it's like,
oh, how many did I say?
85 million.
Oh no, I'm completely wrong. I was 100 million off. They have 183 million.
Okay. 183 million times $13. Yeah. Just really quick. I mean, so of course they have like a ton of money to throw at whatever they want to throw at, you know, and that's every month, by the way, every single month.
So they have
$2.3
billion a month, 2.4, let's round it, $2.4 billion a month.
So $2.4 billion a month, right? Oh my God.
That's a lot of money. And they still have to borrow money. They still have to borrow money for the movies that they're making.
Like you're talking easily $150 billion a year.
Now,
are
they counting screens or subscribers? Because when you pay $13 or $15, you get four screens, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying though is, I see what you're saying. I would say screens and subscribe. I would say subscribers, because if I subscribe and they allow my mom to watch it through the screen, no, I think that's a subscriber. One subscriber, even though two people are watching.
Paying subscriber. That's what it should be.
Paying subscriber. Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about it, though, I mean, that's per month. There's no way they're broke. I can't. I don't know. Whatever. But
they're still spending a lot of money.
But think about it, though. That's why they have all this content coming out.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I guarantee you HBO doesn't have that many subscribers.
Well, they haven't come out yet. HBO Max hasn't come out. They drop at the end of the month.
What's HBO Max?
HBO Max. It's the new streaming service from HBO. I know you've been doing HBO Go and HBO Now, and you think that you've had an HBO experience, but no, HBO has a brand new streaming service that's coming out in in May 27th or something like that.
So, Ted, are you dropping this on our audience right now as we speak in episode 118?
I think our audience knows. If they're streaming fans, some of them know about HBO Max.
How did I not know this?
Well, because I think you just think that it already exists, because it does already exist. That I don't understand what they're doing, but it is going to, I think it's a package. So we'll investigate.
Okay. I'm going to have to do some research. Maybe
you'll bring it into next week.
I would say, let's talk next week. So Vox explains coronavirus.
Oh, was that good? I almost watched that and then I was like depressed. So I didn't.
I enjoyed it. Clarissa fell asleep.
Oh, good.
So she said, let's watch it. I'm going to watch it again. And so I'm like, okay, I'll watch it again with you. She fell asleep. I was like, okay, we're done. I'm not watching any more Vox and coronavirus. It's like 20 minutes. I mean, like, she can't stay awake for 20 minutes. You know, I mean, it's so short. I think the most telling thing of the Vox explains coronavirus, whatever it is when they explain the 1918 H1N1, how St. Louis locked down and Philadelphia said, no, we're going to have a parade.
Oh, right, right, right. And the different curves.
And then St. Louis opened back up like shortly thereafter, and then their curve spiked. And yeah, the two different curves and how that all went down. And then they immediately locked down again, you know? And yeah, mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting to watch. But, and then I figured, you know, just on that note, I figure that Wisconsin, the Supreme Court just said that all the lockdown measures are unconstitutional. They're going to open up. So yep. Best part of that is I figured just fewer Packer fans, you know?
But, oh, the Bears, Packers.
And I'm only kidding you, Packers. And fans,
Packers
come
rivalry
on.
Has gone too far.
It's gone coronavirus. So what did you watch?
What did I watch? So I...
Well, I know you watched Have a Good Trip, but other than that...
I know I watched Have a Good Trip, and then I watched Jerry Seinfeld, The 23 Hours to Kill.
Oh, yeah, we did too. We talked about that last week. So what was your thoughts?
So my thoughts were, just quickly, I loved it. It's classic Jerry. My big thing with him was, at the beginning, he jumps into the Hudson. You know what I mean? And they do that close up on his face, and Anne the whole time, Anne's like, that wasn't him. They just superimposed his face, or you know,
no, that was him.
But then I was like, no, that was him. They punched in on his face. You looked away, and they punched in on his face. You know,
but you saw the end how they trained him.
So I was going to ask you if you thought it was real or not. And then at the end, during the credit sequence, they showed the training and they showed all the high, you know, the high dive jumping that he did to train to jump into the Hudson, and he did a day jump, you know, and stuff like that. And I was like, look, see, it's real.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of fun, you know, but
it was great. It was a great thing to do. You know, he talked about the bucket list and turned it. And it was so funny because, like, he's so delicate, you know, he's like, he doesn't want to like offend his audience. So he says, he calls it a bucket list, and he goes, I just changed the B to an F, and then I didn't have to do it at all. You know, and I was like, oh, that's a
right.
That's the closest he's gonna come to saying the word. You know,
but I mean, it's typical Jerry Seinfeld.
Right. It was very safe. It was very fun. It was funny. I was laughing a lot. So it was definitely humor, and that was in my stride. You know, the whole dichotomy of single people versus married people, and how you really have nothing to talk to with the other side, whatever side you're on, is a constant in my life because I work with a lot of millennials. You know, so they're like. You know.
And I think Jerry Seinfeld, all in all, I mean, he has a very unique take on life, and he's quick, and he has, you know, I mean, he's an intelligent guy, mm-hmm. obviously. I mean, as I think most comedians are intelligent, that's why they're comedians, because the way they see the world and the nuances and how quick they are to jump on the comedy of it. And another thing I watched too, I think I finished all the Bill Burr's
right.
on Netflix, right? So all the Bill Burr stand-ups. And some of the things he was talking about is, you know, he and his wife and their conversations and their arguments in the house, and that's kind of Bill Burr's shtick in a little way.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, how could you be married to somebody like that? Because anything you say
is going to end up...
It's pure comedy fodder. Because, you know, the moment you say anything, in his brain's churning, like, how could I use this? this is what I need to use at my next stand-up session, you know? And it's like,
right.
No matter how serious the, you know, it might be something totally serious. Like, this is how I feel. This is why I feel that way and stuff. And you know, he's just going to undermine you for his stand-up.
he's just throwing it on the woodpile to burn in his next stand-up show.
totally. Yeah.
Well, along those quick-witted lines, I watched a couple of episodes of Middleditch and Swartz.
Middleditch and Swartz.
If you're into stand-up comedy, and I don't know if you, I guess you don't need trainer fodder anymore, but Middleditch and Swartz is on Netflix, and it's a comedy duo. Middleditch is the guy from Silicon Valley, right? And Thomas Middleditch is the guy from Silicon Valley, and Ben Swartz is another voice actor and character actor in a lot of comedy stuff. And they basically, they go out on stage and it's an improv show. It's called Long Form Improv.
What platform are you watching?
Netflix. Super, super easy.
Oh, okay.
So they pick somebody in the audience. They have a short conversation with a couple people in the audience. And then off of that conversation with the people in the audience, they develop a improv comedy show. So then they act off each other and they...
Add it to my list.
When you talk about, to me, some of the most intelligent things you can do is improv, because you're trying to form ideas and playing off other people that are doing it. You know, I loved Whose Line Is It Anyway? And, you know, that's kind of like short little games around it. But this is long form. This is like one story, you know, the first one's like a wedding party. And they basically ask this couple that's going to get married about their wedding. And it's a very interesting little balcony foursome that's in there. And off of the conversation with these four people, they develop a whole comedy show that is completely improv'd, and it's long form, and it takes this whole cycle of things. And it's so fun to watch some of the stuff. Some of the stuff goes down this path and it's like, ooh, that's a fruitful path. Like, they kind of gauge the audience's laughter and reaction to what they do more of. You know what I mean? So it's like the human algorithm just like churning away and like trying to assimilate a story and like taking a conversation that this whole audience has heard, and now we as the home audience is also heard, and then how deftly can we mold this into a comedy scene, a comedy sketch that will last for 20 to 30 minutes or something. So, a lot of fun.
Man, I can't wait, because I added it to my list. I can't wait to watch.
And the last thing I watched this week was the last two episodes of Black AF. So, hashtag Black AF.
That's what it was. All week I'm like, what the hell did Ted watch?
So, I watched the first episodes last couple weeks, and then I finally, this last night or the night before.
And that's Netflix too, right?
Also Netflix, yes. Watch a lot of Netflix. And then, so yeah, the last two episodes of that is they go on vacation to Fiji, and it's kind of just like an amazing vacation, you know, just like the richest vacation you could go on. Private jets, you know, and like private beaches, private islands, you know. And it's just everybody, you know, families are families. Families have problems, you know what I mean? And regardless of if you're, the rich have problems, you know, marital strife as well. So I was like so relieved to hear his marital strife. And like, he goes off to go, he gets like a very small like extra room to basically spend a night away from his family, you know, because his wife's like giving him a hard time.
Well, I'm all over it.
He's off in his little room and he's watching Black-ish. And obviously he is the creator of Black-ish, and in the show he plays himself, so he plays the creator of Black-ish, and he's watching his own show like as he's crying and lamenting his life with his wife, and he's like, and he talks about how great this Black-ish was, and he talks about all the awards it won, and he's like, and he plays bitter about not winning an Emmy for Black-ish, and he talks about, he rolls off like the 13 other awards, like 13 Peabodys, you know, this, that, the other thing, all these other awards that the show got, but never the Emmy. That fickle lady of Emmy, you know. So I thought it was just so well done, and just like, it's a great introspective look into this showrunner creator's life. So it's
well,
fun.
I can't wait to check out Black AF because I was thinking, I'm like, what was that show Ted mentioned last week? And I go to my, you know, I hit the plus sign. It says it's in my list. Uh-huh. It's not there. I go to add it to my list. It says it's there. I don't know. So I guess I'll have to find it later in the week, but at least now I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I wrote it down like old school, Black AF with a pencil and paper, right? Because apparently, like, digital doesn't work these days.
Thanks, coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. That should be a hashtag, thanks, coronavirus. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I'm done. I think we said all we got to say. So, a lot of good beer and Audrey talking about the King of Staten Island. I'm glad we only had one tonight, man.
We would have been 3 hours.
You know what I think it is? I think it's that we've been so, like, away from people. We just need to, like, sit there and just bullshit about nonsense.
Uh-huh. Cool, man. All right. Have a great week.
All right, Ted. Hey, we'll catch you.
All right. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.